This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, January 24th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
The dollar pairs earlier losses after reaching the weakest level in 6 weeks following comments from Steven Mnuchin.
Britain's highest court rules that Parliament must give permission for Prime Minister Theresa May to trigger Article 50.
Yahoo delays its sale to Verizon as investigations continue over data breaches.
Two of President Trump's cabinet picks took steps toward assuming their new roles. Plus, a nor'easter could make the morning commute a mess. I'm Michael Barr. Those stories and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Rare win for the Knicks. They held on at Indiana. Another loss for the Nets, beaten by San Antonio. The Rangers beat L.A. at the Garden.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Bentley University. What do developing apps at Facebook and analyzing data at Biogen have in common? An MBA from Bentley University, where you'll explore innovation and leadership. Because business is everywhere, prepare here.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, little change to higher. S&P E-mini futures up half a point, Dow E-mini futures up 11, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 3. The DAX in Germany's up 0.25%, CAC in Paris up 0.2%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.6%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, the yield 2.41%, the yield on the 2-year 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9%, or 48 cents, to $53.23 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25%, or $3, to $12.1260 an ounce. The euro, $1.0742. The yen, 113.26.
The U.S. dollar this morning is erasing earlier losses. The Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index fell below 100 last night, reaching its lowest level in 6 weeks, after Treasury Secretary nominee Steven Mnuchin said an excessively strong dollar could have negative short-term effects on the U.S. economy. Mnuchin made the comment in a written response to senators obtained by Bloomberg. Still, that's not stopping Goldman Sachs chief economist Jan Hatzius from predicting dollar strength this year.
We do expect a strong dollar. It's mainly based on interest rate differentials. So for euro dollar, for example, we expect parity.
Goldman Sachs chief economist Jan Hatzius also says he expects the Federal Reserve will soon begin normalizing monetary policy.
The UK's highest court this morning ruled that Prime Minister Theresa May must seek the permission of Parliament to trigger the 2-year countdown to Brexit. Bloomberg spoke to Parliament member John Mann of the Labour Party outside the courthouse following the decision. He expects quick action from Parliament to enact Brexit.
The vote will be to enact Brexit, and the vote will be, I predict, next week. I think the government will publish the bill in the next 24 hours, and I think there'll be a vote as early as Monday.
The UK Supreme Court ruled against the government by a vote of 8-3.
And trading for this Tuesday is underway in Europe. For the latest, let's bring in Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Manus Kreni live from our London bureau. Good morning, Manus.
Well, Karen, a very good day to you. Let's kick it off with Philips' fourth quarter profit. Met estimates as the performance of the Dutch company's health technology businesses improved. Sales rose 3% on a comparable basis to 7.2 billion euros. I caught up with the Philips CEO, Frans van Houten, following the company's earnings report this morning. But he expressed concern about the unpredictability of Donald Trump's policies.
I am seeing heightened uncertainty. That is a concern. And I think we will just need to see what is going to come through in terms of policy adjustments. At this time, it is certainly too early.
Frans van Houten, the CEO of Philips. Another stock on the move is BT. The stock is now down 17.21% at 316.7. That's why being £6.5 billion off the telecoms giant. This is the company more than tripled the write-down this on its Italian unit to £530 million. That's after a probe found more faulty accounting and inappropriate behaviour than the company first thought. The CEO, Gavin Patterson, says the firm is deeply disappointed with the improper practices that it found. Finally, EasyJet quarterly sales beat estimates. Revenue per seat fell less than expected in the market and showed some resilience in terms of demand in the run-up to Christmas. Pre-tax profit fell 28% last year on a weak pound and inflated foreign currency expenses and terrorist attacks. The airline says that it plans to lift capacity by as much as 9% this year. Manus Granny, Bloomberg, Daybreak, Europe.
Manus, thank you. In South Korea, Samsung is reporting quarterly profit that more than doubled and announcing a nearly $8 billion share buyback. Bloomberg's Rosalind Chin reports.
Strong chip sales are helping Samsung's earnings. Semiconductor prices have also been rising as global demand grows faster than supply. The company also saw a recovery in its mobile business after last year's Note 7 crisis, and a weaker won played its part in lifting the numbers. And as for that buyback, Samsung will repurchase about $8 billion of its own shares in 3 to 4 phases and will cancel the shares it repurchases. That's all part of a shareholder return program unveiled in November. Rosalind Chin, Bloomberg, Hong Kong.
Rosalind, thank you. Here in the U.S., Yahoo reports quarterly revenue and profit topping analyst estimates and is also pushing back the timeline for the sale of its web business to Verizon. Bloomberg's Caroline Hyde reports from our San Francisco bureau.
Almost $1 billion pulled in terms of revenue and earnings per share almost doubling. But perhaps what actually was a little bit more interesting to investors was the fact that the deal with Verizon had been delayed in terms of completion until the next quarter. This, of course, being the sale of the main web operations to Verizon as it continues to recover from the disclosure of massive hacks to its user accounts. Now, Verizon declined to comment on the new deal timeframe, saying they were awaiting the completion of Yahoo's breach investigation before making any decisions. Caroline Hyde, Bloomberg News, San Francisco.
Caroline, thank you. President Donald Trump today will meet with leaders from several automakers. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
The president wants to persuade car manufacturers to keep production within the country. The heads of Ford, Fiat Chrysler, and GM will meet the president at the White House. The meeting presents Detroit's automakers with a key opportunity to weigh in on major issues the administration plans to tackle in its earliest days, including trade, regulatory, and tax reforms. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. And futures this morning are little changed to higher. NYMEX crude oil rising up about 1% or 52 cents to $53.27 a barrel. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. A new intelligence chief, Bloomberg's Michael Barr, with that and more now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Two of President Trump's cabinet picks took steps toward assuming their new roles. Mike Pompeo has been sworn in as CIA chief by Vice President Mike Pence after the Senate voted to confirm him.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge
the duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr.
Meanwhile, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee voted along party lines, 11-10, to recommend to the full Senate Rex Tillerson's nomination as Secretary of State. President Donald Trump told congressional lawmakers in a private reception that he believes he lost the popular vote in his election because millions of undocumented immigrants cast votes for his opponent, Hillary Clinton. It's an unsubstantiated claim he first made as president-elect. Italy's constitutional court today will weigh in on a law that could have major implications for the country's electoral system. Bloomberg's John Fallane has the details from our Rome bureau.
Former Premier Matteo Renzi wants a comeback soon, and he may get a boost from the court. The verdict will help to determine how soon Parliament can smooth out the differences between the electoral systems for the lower house and the Senate. With things as they are, the risk is a hung Parliament. Also uppermost in the minds of mainstream parties is how to devise a way of keeping the anti-establishment five-star movement out of power. John Fallane, Bloomberg Daybreak, Rome.
New Jersey Transit and Amtrak have resumed train service in New Jersey, but commuters could still experience significant delays this morning. Amtrak had suspended service for Northeast Regional and Acela Express trains in the state after commercial power lines came down in strong winds during a nor'easter in Linden. Syrian peace talks are underway in Kazakhstan. Bloomberg's Henry Meyer in Astana reports rebel groups have called for a total ceasefire.
Russia, Iran, and Turkey are aiming to produce an agreement to bolster a ceasefire in Syria. Even though they failed to get the armed opposition government to sit at the same table, they hope their initiative will kickstart political negotiations to end a 6-year civil war. Henry Mayer, Bloomberg Daybreak, Astana.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Updates. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. During 14 losses in a span of 17 games, the Knicks found different ways to lose, often right at the end. Last night at Indiana was looking like another blown lead, but this time the Knicks held on. Beat the Pacers 109-103, helped by a 40-point second quarter. Carmelo Anthony, 26 points. Derrick Rose with 20. Paul George scored 31 for the Pacers. As for the Nets, San Antonio figured it'd be a good night to give its star player Kawhi Leonard the night off. Good thinking. Spurs won easily without him. 112-86, and Kenny Atkinson's Nets have now lost 13 of 14.
We didn't come up with the energy, and that's one thing with our team. You know, I will say we usually bring that, and tonight we didn't bring it, and I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed for the fans. Like, our fans are unbelievable. Like, the way they support us. I'm looking up in the stands at the end of the game, and it's just, you know, I just ask for patience, and we'll keep working at it and try to get better. I told the guys tomorrow we come in, and we'll get better.
Both Golden State and Cleveland lost on the road. The Warriors in Miami as Deion Waiters scored 33 for the Heat. The Cavs in New Orleans where Jrue Holiday went for 33. In the loss, Kyrie Irving, 49 points. Rangers, since the season-high three-game losing streak, have won three straight with Henrik Lundqvist playing much better after the shutout win at Detroit. Rangers came home, beat Los Angeles 3-2. Upset in the ACC, NC State won at Duke, 84-82. Gonzaga won by 19, is now 20-0. With the last 12 all by double digits, and the Mac Iona beat Quinnipiac St. Peter's downrighter. Australian Open, Roger Federer playing now and up two sets to love. Stan Wawrinka won his match. American Coco Vandeweghe into the semifinals along with Venus Williams. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thanks, John. Elsewhere in sports, Formula One chief executive Bernie Ecclestone is stepping down. The move marks an end to his decades-long reign over the auto racing series. Ecclestone will be replaced by former 21st Century Fox executive Chase Carey. The announcement comes as John Malone's Liberty Media completes its $4.4 billion acquisition of Formula One from private equity firm CVC Capital Partners. S&P E-mini futures currently up a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. And the dollar erased losses while emerging market stocks advanced as investors assess the impact from Donald Trump's efforts to rework trade pacts and comments from U.S. Treasury Secretary nominee Steve Mnuchin on the currency's strength. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures, they're a little changed to higher this morning with S&P E-mini futures up a point, Dow E-mini futures up 16, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 4. DAX in Germany's up about 0.3% now. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.42%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 45 cents to $53.19 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $2.90 to $12.1270 an ounce. The euro's at $1.0739 and the yen 113.28. Well, investors have been looking for details on campaign promises to boost the National Association of Realtors will issue data on sales of previously owned homes today at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast they fell 1.8% in December. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
Existing home sales account for about 90% of all residential real estate transactions. Economists say low inventory continues to act as a drag in many markets. In November, home resales rose to a 5.61 million rate, the highest in almost a decade. 42% of the homes sold in November were on the market for less than a month. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. And almost two dozen companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include DuPont, Johnson & Johnson, Verizon, and 3M. And we'll also hear from Alibaba. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump's designee for budget chief goes under the Senate committee microscope today. Representative Mick Mulvaney will be likely asked how the White House plans to tackle budget deficits. He's been a supporter of the House Republican controversial plan to cut back Medicare by turning it into a voucher-like program. Meanwhile, the Senate Finance Committee meets today to hear testimony from Representative Tom Price of Georgia, the man selected to be health secretary. Mark Dayton's office says the Minnesota governor will be back at work today. Last night, the 69-year-old Democrat fainted during his State of the State address. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Pacers. The Nets lost. The Wizards were also winners. The Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Rangers were winners. The Capitals and the Sharks also won. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. The highest UK court ruled this morning that Prime Minister Theresa May must seek an act of parliament to trigger the two-year countdown to Brexit, handing lawmakers a chance to soften the government's plan. The court ruled against the government by an 8-3 vote, but they did rule unanimously that legislatures in Scotland and Northern Ireland don't get to vote on the Article 50 process. Is it a hurdle or a mere speed bump on the road to Brexit? Let's get some perspective on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. And joining us on the line from London now is Alexander Dryden, global market strategist for JP Morgan Asset Management. Welcome back with us on Daybreak. So does this change your view at all on a possibly softer Brexit?
Hi, Bob. No, it doesn't change the overall path that we're taking here in the UK. It looks very likely that we'll be going down a hard Brexit. But this does actually look like, it may look like a defeat for the government, but actually it could help speed up the process. Not having to go through the Scottish, Welsh and Northern Ireland assemblies does mean that we can circumnavigate some significant delays here in the UK when it comes to passing Brexit. So actually, the government will be slightly relieved with some of these decisions. We're expecting to get a quick bill on the table maybe as soon as next week, and both the current party and the opposition have said that they would respect the will of the people. So it seems likely that it will pass through the UK without a hitch. Theresa May had already promised to talk to the Houses of Parliament about what the actual final deal will look like with the EU. So this doesn't really change a lot on the ground. It may be more of a speed bump rather than a particular hurdle for Brexit.
Now Theresa May did say that Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland would have a voice, though, correct?
She did say that they would have a voice, but there is no formal process that they need to go through. They will not need to vote on the actual bill or the activation of Article 50, which removes a significant hurdle to the Brexit process.
Let me bring you back over to this side of the Atlantic. How much concern is there in Europe about a possible protectionist bent in the new Donald Trump administration?
At the moment, I think the new administration is only a few days old, and investors, not just in the US but also in Europe, are trying to assess how much of the campaign rhetoric that we saw in the build-up to the presidential election will actually make the jump into legislation. That's the real debate at the moment. And in fact, we're more focused on fiscal policy at this stage. And there's been a little bit of nervousness. We got very excited after the presidential election when there was a lot of talk about infrastructure spending, a lot of talk about tax cuts from the new incoming administration. However, unfortunately, in the inauguration speech, there was very little mention about that fiscal policy, which is making us think that maybe that fiscal stimulus might take a little bit more time to come to the foreground. And you've seen the dollar and yields retreat about a third of what they rallied to after the after Trump winning the presidential election.
So there might not be as quick a turnaround as was hoped for.
No, we were hoping for quite a quick response. We were hoping for tax cuts. We were hoping for infrastructure spending that would boost GDP growth in 2017 and 2018. And now what we feel may be happening is a lot of that legislation may be being pushed down the pecking order when it comes to appearing in front of Congress. And we might not see the impact of GDP to end GDP growth until 2018.
Our thanks to Alexander Dryden, global market strategist for JP Morgan Asset Management, for your insights this morning. Joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line, Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure Solutions. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures currently up a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis higher by 14 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures up by 3 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is up 0.25%. The CAC in Paris up 0.1%. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury prices down 7/32. The yield at 2.4229%. And COMEX gold prices at this hour are down 0.2% to 12/13/10 an ounce. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Willoughby's. Since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store, four precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by SEI. Imagine when asset management servicing is unconstrained by infrastructure. See how SEI's global operating platform can be your catalyst for business expansion at seic.com/imagine.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The U.K.'s highest court has ruled that Prime Minister Theresa May must seek an act of Parliament to trigger the two-year countdown to Brexit. The decision is a defeat for May, who argued that she alone had the power to begin the country's withdrawal from the European Union. The ruling now gives lawmakers a chance to soften May's Brexit plan.
Shares of BT Group are down more than 17% in London. After the company more than tripled a write-down at its Italian unit, BT says there had been more faulty accounting and inappropriate behavior than originally thought. The company will write down a $663 million loss. That's up from $181 million.
Not a smooth ride for EasyJet this morning. Shares of the discount airline are down 7.5% in London after the company said a weaker pound and a higher fuel cost will weigh on earnings more than forecast.
Credit Suisse says Warren Buffett's record risk transfer agreement with AIG may be risky business. The bank says the deal is so big that Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway risked posting its first annual underwriting loss since 2002 at its property casualty business. AIG agreed to pay Berkshire about $10 billion to take on risks from policies in prior years.
Verizon scheduled to release quarterly earnings this morning. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
A majority of the analysts covering Verizon have hold ratings in effect. The communications company gets 21 of them. There are 13 buy ratings and no sell ratings. Verizon has maintained that 2016 was a transformational year in its efforts to expand contributions from new revenue streams to offset pressures from its wireless and wireline segments. It has worked to build its advertising, content rights, and telematics operations. But Bloomberg Intelligence notes it still relies on cost cuts to improve profitability. The consensus among forecasters is that Verizon will post an adjusted profit of 89 cents a share on revenue of $32 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. In Japan, Takata bonds are plunging. Some debt holders are concerned they will only recover a small portion of their money if the struggling airbag maker goes into bankruptcy. Takata notes due in 2021 have fallen 51% in 3 days.
Futures this morning, little change to higher. S&P E-mini futures up 1 point, Dow E-mini futures up 14, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 3.5. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And, Kara, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. The TPP torpedoed. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the very latest now. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Several countries say they are hopeful that the Trans-Pacific Partnership can be salvaged after President Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out of the trade pact.
We're going to stop the ridiculous trade deals that have taken everybody out of our country and taking companies out of our country. And it's going to be reversed. I think you're going to have a lot of companies come back to our country.
Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull is leading a push to salvage the Pacific trade deal. Turnbull acknowledges that Trump's move is a major blow to the 12-nation agreement, but suggests that other countries such as China may help fill the void left by the U.S. President Trump has his man for director of the CIA. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
Contentious debate, some very pointed confirmation questions, but in the final tally, a vote to confirm Mike Pompeo was pretty strong.
The ayes are 66, the nays are 32. The confirmation of Mike Pompeo to the CIA is confirmed.
U.S. intelligence community has been under attack by the new president, so Pompeo gets to walk that tightrope. A CIA workforce that is skeptical of him and the president, as well as a president who's had a differing opinion on how to deal with terrorism suspects.
Bloomberg's Ed Baxter. Britain's Supreme Court has ruled that Parliament must have a say on Brexit. Kenneth Armstrong, professor of European law at the University of Cambridge, says the ruling doesn't merely mean that British politicians must discuss when or how to trigger Article 50.
There must be not just consultation of the UK Parliament, but actually Parliament must legislate. Parliament has to give statutory authorization to Theresa May to trigger Article 50.
It is going to be a rough commute this morning for train passengers. New Jersey Transit and Amtrak have resumed train service in New Jersey after strong winds from a nor'easter hit the state yesterday. Officials say, though, commuters could still experience significant delays this morning. Power lines came down on the tracks from strong winds. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, Michael. That brings us to 5:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Swing of emotions for the Knicks last night at Indiana. They were down by 14 points, then up by 17. Sure enough, the Pacers rallied to tie in the final minute. It was looking like yet another heartbreaking loss, but Carmelo Anthony put the Knicks back ahead, and they beat the Pacers 109-103 with Melo scoring 26 points. Just their fourth win since Christmas. They had lost 9 in a row at Indiana. The Nets have lost 13 of 14, beaten by San Antonio 112-86. Both Golden State and Cleveland lost. The Warriors in Miami. The Cavs, who have been slumping in New Orleans. Rangers hosted the L.A. Kings.
Zatkov about to get it. Blocked by Miller. Nice play. Open man. Zuccarello scores! Yesterday, it was Zuccarello to Miller. Tonight, it's Miller to Zuccarello.
MSG had it. The goal Sunday won the game 1-0 in overtime. That one put him ahead 3-1 third period. They beat the Kings 3-2. 36 saves for Henrik Lundqvist, who was in a slump during a recent three-game skid, but playing much better of late. Roger Federer and Venus Williams not supposed to be doing this at their ages. The 35-year-old Federer, who hadn't played since last summer due to a knee injury, into the Australian Open semifinals as the 17th seed. He'll now face his fellow Swede Stan Wawrinka, and Venus at 36, seeded 13th, has become the oldest to reach the Australian Open semis in the 49-year-old Open era. It's her first Aussie semifinal since 2003. She'll now play Coco Vandeweghe in an All-American semi. Vandeweghe off the upset of top seed Angie Kerber, won 6-4, 6-love. And if Serena Williams, as expected, wins tonight, three Americans in the semis of a Grand Slam for the first time since 2002. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
John, thanks very much. President Donald Trump's withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership creates a unique opening for China. Bloomberg Daybreak anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
It's a trade and economic vacuum that China appears eager to fill. Will it damage American prestige here in Asia? Well, that's a question being raised in the halls of many U.S. allies in the region. The failure of TPP will see China step up its push for an alternative pact, first conceived by ASEAN countries. It's the 16-nation Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. It doesn't include the United States, and it contains fewer measures to tackle non-tariff barriers to trade. Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasia Group, said, killing TPP undermines the United States in the eyes of Asian allies. He says their position is, well, they put a lot of effort into it, and now they feel they can't rely on the United States. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Brian. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for your Tri-State Business Report and Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Morning, Bob. Gannett is issuing layoff notices to 141 employees in a second major round of job cuts at its recently purchased group of newspapers in northern New Jersey. Company says the reductions will take place across its North Jersey media group. That includes The Record, The Herald News of Passaic County, and NorthJersey.com. Gannett eliminated more than 100 jobs at the newspaper group after buying it last summer. Goldman Sachs has hired Andy Osmond, who served as President Barack Obama's senior director for cybersecurity to help guard data at the Wall Street firm. He's joining as a managing director with the title co-chief information security officer. Jury deliberations resumed today in federal court in Connecticut for former Jefferies managing director Jesse Litvak. He's charged with fraud in trading mortgage bonds. Prosecutors claim Litvak lied to customers who sought to buy mortgage bonds at the best possible price. That's your Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thanks very much. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Adrienne Mitchell, and on WPBM in Chicago, I'm reporting on new technology coming to McDonald's restaurants.
I'm John Tucker for WLW in Cincinnati. I'm reporting on a new law allowing terminal patients to be treated with experimental drugs.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following the Supreme Court ruling that the UK government needs Parliament's backing to begin the Brexit process.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. I'm reporting what's next for Humana as a judge blocks its deal with Aetna.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting automakers could face big changes in international operations as President Trump pushes ahead with changes in U.S. trade policy.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures up a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. In Europe, London's FTSE is up a tenth of 1%. The CAC in Paris up two-tenths of 1%. The DAX in Frankfurt is up a quarter percent. 10-year Treasury prices down 8/32 this morning. The yield at 2.4265%. The 2-year yield at 1.1637. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. And coming up, a question of ethics. Are Trump-owned businesses prohibited from accepting payments from foreign governments? We'll take a look at that straight ahead on the Bloomberg Law segment. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar rebounding with oil while gold falls. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, the euro's at $1.0737, the yen 113.35. The futures right now, little change to higher. S&P E-mini futures up a point. Dow E-mini futures up 16. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 4. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. Yield 2.42%. And NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 34 cents to $53.09 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $3.20 to $12.1250 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Mike Pompeo has been sworn in as director of the CIA. The Senate confirmed President Donald Trump's nominee. A ruling by Britain's Supreme Court could slow the Brexit process. The court ruled today that the government must get parliamentary approval before starting the process of leaving the European Union. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks won, the Nets lost, the Wizards winners, the Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Rangers, Capitals, and Sharks all winners. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. And time now for your Bloomberg ETF report. Here's Catherine Cowdery.
Assets in ETFs will top those held in mutual funds by 2025. That's a prediction from Inside ETF's chief executive Matt Hogan at the group's 10th annual conference in Hollywood, Florida. Tony Davidow, vice president at Charles Schwab, says one of the fastest growing areas in the ETF industry is in smart beta strategies, also known as strategic beta.
They have been the darlings for the last several years. So today, there are now over 1,000 strategies and $500 billion in assets under management. And these strategies are growing at roughly twice the rate of the broad-based market.
Factor ETFs are being widely discussed at the conference. Davidow says they're not just a marketing tool. Academic research on factor investing has been well known for decades.
What's different and unique today is the ability to package some of those factors in exchange-traded funds. But a lot of the big institutions have been exploiting these factors for decades.
Davidow and others are emphasizing the importance of understanding the methodology of factor and smart beta ETFs before investing in them. At the Inside ETFs Conference, I'm Catherine Cowdery, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Catherine. And now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And the Law Brief brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Greg Stuhr discuss an ethics lawsuit brought against President Donald Trump, which accuses him of violating the Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. They speak with Jonathan Adler, a professor at Case Western University, and Caroline Fredrickson, president of the American Constitution Society.
Caroline, make the case for this lawsuit. What's the argument that says that Trump is violating the Emoluments Clause?
I mean, first of all, he's conflating several things when he says the president has no conflict of interest. You know, there are many statutes and lots of custom about how presidents are supposed to behave to make the American people believe that they have our nation's interests first, not their own pocketbook. But this is the Constitution, and what we're talking about is the Emoluments Clause. Which was adopted by the framers because of great concern about foreign governments being able to influence those who run our country, and by definition, to influence the president. It's very squarely on point. It says that no person holding any office of profit or trust shall, without the consent of Congress, accept any president, emolument, office, or title of any kind, whatever, from any king, prince, or foreign state. So, I think it's clear that the president is covered by the Emoluments Clause, and I think the advocates who brought this suit have a very, very strong argument that there is a potential, certainly, for a violation.
Jonathan, is there a substantive argument that the president is in violation of the Constitution?
There is an argument, and I do think there is serious academic debate over whether the president is properly covered by the clause, and there is certainly academic debate about how we identify the difference between money obtained in an arm's-length transaction and what is actually an emolument or an improper inducement. But the larger question is really whether or not this is the sort of thing that should be handled in the federal courts. The Emoluments Clause itself gives Congress the authority to decide what the line is between a permissible and impermissible emolument. The Impeachment Clause specifically identifies bribery as a potential grounds for impeachment. So I think the larger question is whether or not this is the sort of thing that the political process should deal with, or the sort of thing that should be left in the hands of a single federal judge in a single court case.
That's Jonathan Adler, a professor at Case Western University, and Caroline Fredrickson, president of the American Constitution Society, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Greg Stuhr. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
Recent storms in the California wine country have caused flooding, road closures, and an end to the 7-year drought. In fact, the National Weather Service says the past 4 months have provided more rain to the area than is considered average for an entire year. Apparently, that has also caused a certain amount of angst for wine lovers. Bloomberg's Greg Jarrett decided to brave the weather and head for wine country to take a look for himself.
Yes, it is wet here in the heart of the Napa Valley. Sometimes heavy rain scatters the workers in the vineyards in front of me. What prompted me to come up here was first an article in the Santa Rosa Press Democrat that indicates while the heavy rains that have swamped the North Coast this month have brought drought relief to the local wine industry, the deluge has put work crews weeks behind on critical pruning that must be done before late winter bud break. There was also a report on ABC television in San Francisco quoting Joel Mellinger, a winery worker in Sonoma County, who says the rain and floodwaters are washing away potential business for them.
The routes are either blocked due to accumulated water or threatened to be closed, and that seems to be a very discouraging fact.
I'm near St. Helena, California, just south of it, in fact, the area that houses Far Niente Wines, Robert Mondavi, and many more. This is the route the wine train takes. I noticed the parking lot for Visa Tui Winery is full, so I pulled in to talk with the president and general manager, Tom Davies, with whom I've been acquainted for over the 35 years he's worked here. During that time, Davies has seen a lot of drought and a lot of flood.
Well, as you say, we've been through this a few times, and for the last 7 years, we've been used to no rainfall at all, and I think we kind of forgot what it's like to get 20 inches of rain in the last couple months.
So Davey says they're not too worried.
And for right now, the grapes are sleeping. I mean, the vines are dormant, and even though we've seen some fields that have 2 feet of water in them, that doesn't hurt anything right now.
The problem, says Davies, is the rain means it's been warmer than normal.
The vines are starting to think, hey, this is maybe getting time to wake up because we now have warmer soils. And so we've seen just a tiny bit of bud push.
And that leaves the buds susceptible to freezing if the cold comes later. But overall, Davies says, the rains are welcome.
You know, right now, all of our reservoirs are full. You know, a couple of years ago, that wasn't the case. We've been, in fact, fighting drought for the last 7 years.
One interesting fact, the drought made for lower yields, fewer grapes, but great wine.
We've had, with vintages like 13 and 14 and even 15 and 16, we've had some really good vintages, even in the drought.
Just not enough of it, as you need a large yield, says Davies, to make it in this business.
Today, with land prices in the Napa Valley approaching $400,000 an acre, it's really important that we get not only great quality, but substantial yields.
Then there's the price of the grapes.
Let's say 30 years ago, Cabernet was probably going for, you know, maybe $800, $900 a ton. It's now not uncommon to see that same ton of grapes costing $10,000 to $15,000 a ton.
Making wine, growing the grapes, is in the end farming, and therefore dependent on Mother Nature, and therefore, says Davies, a gamble.
Of course, the saying, how do you make a small fortune in the wine business? You start with a large one, I think, still applies.
Davies does not see the crop in danger, but says it'll be a few more months before a real prediction can be made. For now, the rain's a good thing, and Billy Joel can be comfortable placing his order.
Bottle of white, bottle of red.
All right, Greg Jarrett, thank you for that report. And futures this morning, we continue to watch the markets. S&P E-mini futures up a point, Dow E-mini futures up 16, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 4.5. And this is your Bloomberg Daybreak.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Potisk.
The Trump administration directs the Environmental Protection Agency to temporarily freeze its social media efforts. It includes at least the agency's Facebook and blogs, according to two sources familiar with the directive. The administration has wasted no time scrubbing the White House website of all references to fighting climate change, one of former President Obama's priorities. Nearly a quarter of federal lawmakers who sit on committees that handle health issues hold investments in pharmaceutical or health services companies, according to a Bloomberg DNA analysis of financial disclosures. And a study by the Treasury's Federal Insurance Office finds auto insurance is not affordable for 18.6 million Americans.
Bloomberg DNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.